Tell me, would you like me to play you something on the fiddle? I don't know how you feel, but for me, there's nothing more wonderful than to be able to play the fiddle. Whenever there was a wedding in Kasilovka, I was the first on hand to greet the musicians. I would steal up behind the bass violin, pluck a string, and run off again. For doing this, I once caught the devil from Beryl Bass, a fierce-looking man with a flat nose and a sharp eye. He pretended not to see me as I stole up behind his bass violin, but just as I was stretching out my hand, he caught me by the ear. He led me to the door with a great show of courtesy. Don't forget to kiss the mezuzah on your way out. And smack. But that experience taught me nothing. I couldn't stay away from musicians. I was in love with every one of them. I would listen to them play and go around for days in a trance. And I vowed to myself, let the world come to an end, I must have a fiddle. No matter what it costs, I must have one. But how do you make a fiddle? Naturally, of cedar wood. It's easy to say cedar wood, but where do you get this wood that's supposed to grow only in the Holy Land? So what does God do? He gives me this idea. We had an old sofa at our house, an inheritance from my grandfather, Reb Anshel, over which my two uncles and my father had quarreled for a long time. My Uncle Ben argued that he was the oldest son, therefore the sofa was his. Uncle Sender argued that he was the youngest, therefore the sofa belonged to him. My father admitted that he, being only a son-in-law, had no claim to the sofa. But since his wife, my mother, was my grandfather's only daughter, the sofa rightfully belonged to her. But now my two aunts, Aunt Itke and Aunt Zlatke, entered the feud. They carried their bickerings back and forth, the sofa this, the sofa that, your sofa, my sofa. The whole town rocked with the sofa. Meanwhile, the sofa remained our sofa. Now, this sofa of which I speak had a wooden frame with a thin veneer. It was loose. It puffed out in several places. And this veneer, which was loose in spots, was the real cedar wood that fiddles are made of. Knew there was only one thing to do. And for that, I chose a very good time when my father lay down for his afternoon nap. I crept into the corner with a big nail, and I began clawing away. In his sleep, my father thought it was a mouse. I went on working. Suddenly, I look up. There he stood watching me with a puzzled look. But when he saw the gouged-out sofa, he shook me till I rattled. Is this the behavior of an engaged young man? I forgot to say, our parents had arranged it. I was engaged to Esther Beltax, the tax collector's daughter. We used to tease her by singing, Esther, Flester, where is your schwester? And if her father had heard about the cedar wood, or fiddles, or music at all, he would have broken the engagement and my father's heart. But the desire to play the fiddle never left me. And as if in spite, I had to listen to music every day. You see, just halfway between home and cheder, there was an old shack. And whenever you passed it, you heard the strains of all kinds of instruments. And especially the sound of a fiddle. Around the house were bright yellow sunflowers that bent their heads, swayed in the breeze, and beckoned to me, come to us, young man. Here is freedom. Here it is bright and fresh, warm and cheerful. But that is not for you, Jewish children. Yellow sunflowers, green grass, the clear sky. These are not for you. But this isn't the point. This is the point. One day, I was standing under the window drinking the music in. A boy came out, barefoot, about 15 years old. You like it, huh? And what instrument would you like to play? The fiddle.
Yeah, the fiddle, I said.
Come on in. My father will teach you for 2 rubles a month. With my heart pounding and my legs trembling, I crossed the threshold of this paradise. This was the home of a musician, Naftalsi Bezborodka, a Jew with a short coat, a large nose, and a face without the trace of a beard, and that was why they called him Bez Borodka, the beardless one. His wife was known as Mother Eve, and they had at least a dozen and a half children, tattered, half-naked, barefoot. And as I was soon to learn, every one of them, from the oldest to the youngest, played some instrument. This one the fiddle, that one the cello, the other the bass, one the trumpet, another the flute, the bassoon, the harp, the cymbal, the balalaika, the drum. Some of them could whistle the most complicated melody with their lips, or through their teeth, or glass tumblers, or pots of pieces of wood. Naftalsy Bezborodka opened a red case, and he took out a small round fiddle with an odd belly.
Huh. The fiddle, huh? The fiddle, you understand, is the mother of all instruments. The first fiddler in the world was Tubal Cain, or Methuselah, I'm not sure which. The second was King David, yes. The third, a man named Paganini, also a Jew. The best fiddlers have always been Jews. I can name you a dozen, not to mention myself. Hey, Paganini, he never would play for the kings and the princes, no matter how much they gave him. No, no. He preferred to play for the common people in the taverns and the villages. What a fiddler Paganini was.
Suddenly, he turned to his children.
Fellow artists, to your instruments.
Then he struck the table with his bow. He threw a sharp look at each child separately and at all of them at once. And the concert began. I was almost knocked off my feet. Each one tried to outdo the other, and loudest played a thin boy with a running nose, Chemele. He played some sort of sack, and when he blew, it gave out a shriek like a cat. And all the time, he winked at me.
I'm doing good, huh?
But hardest of all worked Naftalsy himself. He both played and conducted. He worked with his hands, his feet, his nose, his eyes, his whole body. Suddenly, he lifted to his shoulder the fiddle with the odd belly. The orchestra subsided, and... one instant, I forgot the shack and the fader, Chemele and the children, and even Bez Borodka and his wonderful fingers disappeared. I saw nothing in front of me. I only felt a singing, a sighing, a weeping, a talking, a roaring. Sounds sweet as honey poured straight into my heart, and I walked home in a trance. Where have you been all day?
I look up. There sits my father, and by his side, Ephraim Klotz, the tattler. Where should I be? In shul.
What did you do there all day?
What should I be doing? Studying.
What were you studying?
What should I be studying? The Gemara.
Which Gemara, said my father?
At this point, Ephraim Klotz laughed his shrill laugh, and my father gave me two fiery resounding slaps. And the next day, Heschel Beltex broke the engagement.
My father became ill. He stayed in bed for days. And once when I passed his door, he called to me, and his voice became choked with tears, and he was seized with a fit of coughing. Silently I swore to myself never to disobey my father again, never to cause him such grief. Never. Never in this world. No more fiddles.